You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Just Call is Right. 877-710-ESPN is the number. We'll get to some of your calls coming up in just a little bit. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line as well. Dave McMenamin is going to join us, Sliwa, but he's going to join us next segment. Can't imagine what he's got going on right now where we get
very
bumped
selfish,
a segment.
Very but, selfish on
yeah,
his
kind
part.
Of a bad guy move yeah, by McMenamin yeah. right there.
You know what? Tell him we're busy at 10:15.
Yeah. Well, tell him to call us back. All right, so Dave will join us here in about 15 minutes. Let's jump right into this. Did you think we were going to get here? You're a game away when they made the trade for Anthony Davis. This is it feels like a lifetime ago. Think about what it was the Lakers at the very beginning of the season when they hired Frank Vogel. All of the chaos that was swirling around with Magic and Genie and Rob and everything was just totally bonkers, and it felt like, oh my gosh, what in the world is going on here? Fast forward to where we are now. It's been more than a year since this whole thing started, and the Lakers need one more game to win a championship. And that moment when all that stuff was going on, I said, there's no way we're getting here. Once you saw Anthony Davis and LeBron together, you're thinking, yeah, they're going to be a real problem for everybody else, but here we are, one away.
Well, here's the reality. Before the NBA stopped, and we had those two games in March against the Bucks and the Clippers.
Back-to-back.
That, to me, was the first time. I remember Sunday was a 12:30 start, maybe a 1 o'clock start. Across the street at Staples Center, we're all there. The energy at Staples Center. You had this mix of Clippers and Laker fans. The moment Lakers won that game, it was the first time they beat the Clippers. So this was real to think that, okay, Clippers got just as good of a chance to beat the Lakers as the Lakers do to beat the Clippers.
I'm going to steal a line from Key, not to cut you off, but I just did. There, the one of the thought processes was, yeah, the Lakers are good, but the Clippers are better. They can't beat the Clippers. They haven't beaten a quote-unquote good. They lost to Toronto. They lost to the Clippers. They lost to
the
Bucks. They're good, but they're not as good as those other good teams. Yeah, well, how about that?
Well, so it's safe to say at that point, of course, there's still a lot of questions. They take care of the Bucks on Friday night. Then they beat the Clippers on Sunday afternoon. At that moment, I thought the championship runs through the Los Angeles Lakers. If you want to chip this upcoming season, you're going through the Lakers. And that was my feeling then. And then everything just stops. Then we get to the Orlando bubble. I did not know how to gauge the Lakers team in the bubble. They play those 8 regular season games to finish off the season.
They looked bad.
They looked bad.
Yeah.
They looked out of sync. And you just started kind of questioning where they were. The reality was the Lakers were pacing themselves. The Lakers knew and understood. All they had to do was just get to the postseason to kind of get back into a rhythm. And as the postseason has progressed, they've got better. Did I think we would be right here one game away? Yeah, there were some times I thought that it was going to be the case. And then there was other times during the season I thought, I don't know, I think the Lakers got some issues.
I've got a buddy, a couple of buddies, that when we're watching these games, we text back and forth. Whenever LeBron starts to do LeBron things, I just send him a text to say, LeBron, guys. And he's the answer to the question, right? That whenever when they look bad in the bubble, the answer was, hey, is this a problem? It's like, whoa, LeBron, guys. When they lost the opening game to the Portland Trailblazers, and it's, hey, you know, Damian Lillard, he's white hot. Forget, you know, LeBron, guys. It's the answer to every basketball question you have. And then when you have Anthony Davis in your back pocket, forget about it. That's what I want to go to next. Anthony Davis, towards the end of the third quarter and all through the fourth quarter, was a different guy than he was through basically the first three quarters. Who was the same guy that was there for basically the entire night in game three. If Anthony Davis can find a way to be a little more LeBron-like in just keeping that level, it's not performance because he's always good, but it's that, oh, hell no, we're not going to let this happen. That, because you can feel when LeBron does it. When LeBron hits that gear in a game, you can feel it when it's, okay, I'm done with this. I'm going to win this right now by myself. If you guys aren't going to do it, I will. He did it against Denver. You could feel it coming last night. And it was almost that, hey, AD, I'm going to get you going a few more times, but if you're not going to do it, I'm going to take over right here. But Anthony Davis responded, and he was just as big of a part of it in the fourth quarter. That dude moving forward, going back to the tweet that we had a minute ago about back-to-back, if he can find that on a nightly basis, get ready for multiple parades.
But, Trav, let me tell you this. I don't have that answer yet. Because, you know, when we have the conversation, Jackie McMullen, who's as good as it gets, I love listening to her on ESPN, she joined the pregame show yesterday, and she said that the conversation about MVP, finals MVP, she's like, it's so ridiculous to even talk about LeBron James and Anthony Davis for finals MVP. She's like, it's not a conversation. LeBron is LeBron. That's why the Lakers are there. So as good as Anthony Davis is, and the way you set all that up, I'm not sure yet if Anthony Davis, from what I've seen in his career so far, I don't think there's a lock or a guarantee that AD will ever be LeBron James or have a season where you're like, okay, this is by far the best player in the world. Their positions are different. I think he'll always need to have another player with him, where LeBron James, yes, he's had some players with him, but he's also carried teams that couldn't get there.
I want to split a hair. I think he could have a season. It could happen as soon as next year. We say, oh, Anthony Davis is best player in the league. But he's also not the most important player in the league or the most valuable player in the league. He could, because go back a couple years ago, we had a moment where we kind of look around and say, you know what? You know who the best player in the NBA is right now? It's Kevin Durant. And it wasn't a crazy thing to say. Kevin Durant was
KD's amazing.
Kevin Durant was having a year that was arguably better, but he wasn't the most valuable player.
Should have beat the Golden State Warriors that year, if that's the year you're referring to.
But he didn't do what LeBron has done. Mm-hmm. He hasn't put it on his back the way that LeBron has done it. That's why LeBron is always the most valuable. Let's try another phone call here if you want to get in. 877-710-ESPN. L.A. and Marcus. Marcus, you are on a Lakers Final Reaction Wednesday. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
Well, so much to unpack here. Let's just start with not a Clipper fan. Glad they lost.
Paul George is my new favorite player.
I like you already. Go ahead.
And you guys have started this conversation and kept it going about why LeBron is potentially the greatest player of all time. I'm in the camp now that he is. I grew up in the late 70s, early 80s. I watched Michael Jordan play the Lakers in person in that first finals. He's a great player. He's the greatest winner of all time, followed by Kobe. But if I was a GM and I needed to pick one player to start my team, LeBron's that guy. And I think the argument, and you guys can unpack it, can a great coach neutralize a great player? A, and B, can a great player beat a great coach? And I would say that LeBron James has never had a great coach, ever. If you look at the stats of all his coaches, 1,398 wins, to 1,001 losses, all his coaches. Phil Jackson had 1,155 wins, 485 losses.
I think there's an interesting point here, Marcus. Thank you for the phone call. First of all, I'm not the name I'm about to say, I'm not putting it in with Phil Jackson or Pat Riley or Greg Popovich or any of those guys.
Spoelstra?
Spoelstra's a great coach. Mm-hmm. Spoelstra has this team in the finals.
I could see his point about also, too, when Spoelstra came. By the way, when Spoelstra became the coach of the Heat, after the first season, I'm like, this dude's not surviving.
Countdown. Start the countdown.
This guy's not going to make it. But I could see that point he's making right there. But, Travis, it's so tough. I've never got into who's the greatest player of all time, because a lot of it is generational. If I ask you who your favorite band was or what genre of music do you think is the greatest, it might have to do with... You too.
Yeah.
It might have to do, Trav, with the generation you grew up in. Mm-hmm. So if I'm sitting here and Michael Thompson's across the table with me, he's going to say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the greatest player of all time. Somebody else might be sitting to my right, and Sedano might say, no, it's Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. I might be sitting here and saying, well, did you guys not watch Kobe or Magic Johnson, whatever the case is? So I never get into the who's the greatest player of all time. But the question he said, if you're starting a franchise and you get one player to start it with, I usually fall into the camp of the Magic Johnson or LeBron James because of that style of basketball.
There's a whole bunch of qualifiers to that. Number one, what rules are we playing under? Because if we're playing under the rules of the 1980s, I want Kareem, or I want Shaq, or I want a guy like that, because the game's played inside out. We're not taking a bunch of threes. If we're playing modern basketball,
1944.
Give me George Mikan.
So that's
a big part of it. But you're right. I've always thought that the comparison with LeBron to Michael Jordan was a little bit inaccurate for this. LeBron doesn't play like Michael Jordan. They play very different types of
Kobe
basketball.
And Jordan,
yes,
is a replica. Yeah. Magic and LeBron is the closest comp that you could have.
He's the only one. Mm-hmm. He's the only one. And the difference being, and this is not disrespectful to Magic in any way, Magic is my all-time favorite NBA
Me too.
Player.
Mm-hmm.
Just not. There really isn't a close second. LeBron is infinitely more athletic than Magic. I think Magic would probably say the same thing, right?
No, of course.
It's just
LeBron's built like a tank.
He's built like a tank, and there's maybe two guys in the whole league that are faster than
he is.
He's
Karl Malone with athleticism.
He's Karl Malone, and he moves like Russell Westbrook. That's just not something you see very often. And by the way, he's not done yet. That if at this point, year 17, he just
year
decided,
17.
You know what I'll do this year? Mm-hmm. I'll just be the best point guard in the league. Who's to say that 2 years from now he doesn't say, you know what I'm going to do this year? I'll be Karl Malone for a couple more seasons, and I'll just go set myself up down on that block and just murder guys down there.
By the way, he did that yesterday when AD, imagine, you know, AD was getting double-teamed every time, so Lakers said, why don't we throw Bron in the post and let LeBron kind of, instead of do everything from the top of the key, do it from the post. You're right. Bron could probably do that for a couple years.
All right, Dave McMenamin, assuming he will take our call this time, he is scheduled to join us next on a Lakers Final Reaction Wednesday on 710 ESPN. Hey, like you, I have a family and I have a mortgage, and I protect the ones I love with life insurance. Life insurance is peace of mind. It can help you pay off a mortgage. It can send your kids to college. And if you think you can't afford it, chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $19 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find the best policy. Plus, your quotes, they're free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-881-6868. That's 1-800-881-6868, or go to SelectQuote.com. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors, and it's not available in all states.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So the Lakers are one win away from championship number 17. Joining us right now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line is Dave McMenamin from ESPN. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fantastic. So let me start right here. I asked Alan this question a minute ago. Did you think we were going to get here? Did you think that we would get to a point where we're one game away from crowning an NBA champion when everything has gone just absolutely haywire all year long?
That's a great question. I don't know about the Lakers team specific. If you know, I was so sure. I thought they had a decent chance entering into the bubble of being the champion, but I didn't know if I would say for sure they'd be the team. But I did have faith in that 4.5 month hiatus that the league would figure it out some way. And it's not just the money behind it, but it is the pride in the product and understanding that. If you look at your ledger and you go 73 years down the list, you don't want to have an open gap in year 74 with no champion. And all the credit that I can bestow upon Adam Silver and the NBA, you know, powers that be for figuring this out in a healthy manner, I'd like to heap upon them because, you know, this thing wasn't just about basketball and it wasn't just about, you know, the social issues that obviously they shed light on down here in Orlando, but it was a model in how to manage public health during a pandemic.
Mm. Dave, in your piece, and I want to go on this on ESPN.com right now, there was a text message from LeBron James yesterday to the players, And Anthony Davis said, we see the message from our leader, and he just left it at that. Is that something, just all the years that you've covered LeBron, is that common? Was yesterday something unique? Because, yes, you're up 2-1, but you go up 3-1. We know what that means and how much closer you are to an NBA championship. Is this something LeBron typically does in the past, or was yesterday kind of a unique predicament or situation?
Alan, Anthony said that this was the only time he did that during this postseason run. Obviously, you know, they've won their first three series 4-1, so they weren't necessarily in a quote-unquote must-win predicament. But we know from being around people that talk a lot, and LeBron is someone who does talk a lot, delivering a message in a different manner can sometimes have more of an impact. And you know, Anthony said usually, like, him and LeBron are sending the group chat messages after the game if they lose, offering words of encouragement. But to do this pregame, to do when you're already up 2-1, to kind of just tighten the screws on everyone, put the pressure up a little bit, and recognize that a 2-2 series against this Miami team that just got Bam Adebayo back, and at that point they would be winners of 2 games in a row, is a completely different proposition than being up 3-1. And listen, LeBron's been in 10 finals, so he's seen just about every single way a series can go. You know, he's been down 3-1 and he won the series. You know, he was up 2-1 and he lost the series twice. And so, you know, he knows the difference between it being 2-2 and 3-1.
Dave McMenamin is giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So with that in mind, that he's seeing everything that a series can go through, anything short of just a bizarre turn of events, and certainly that's in play in 2020, can the Lakers do anything to blow, just from a basketball perspective, or is this thing in the bank?
Oh, it's not in the bank. No way. You're not going to get me to say that. I mean, what about this season's been predictable? And, you know, certainly Miami is a team that earned their way here. You know, they beat the number one team in terms of regular season wins in the Milwaukee Bucks. They took care of Boston in a tough, hard-fought series. They swept Indiana, an Indiana team that was looking really good in the seeding round thanks to T.J. Warren. And Jimmy Butler's a special player. No, the Lakers should approach Friday's game with a similar sense of urgency if they want to assure this thing is closed out, because I mean, we know how these things go. Like, Miami, game one, Goran Dragic plants his foot wrong, and Bam Adebayo feels a strain. You know, if those two things don't happen, it's a different series most likely. And so those two things could happen to Lakers players in game five, I should say. And so they had to, you know, approach it like, let's do whatever we can to finish things off, because if the series is extended, you never know what can happen.
Dave, what did you think of that conversation with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, where AD says, look, let me be the guy on defense. Let me go up against Jimmy Butler and try and slow him down. We know what Jimmy Butler did in game three. Kind of taking that burden on his shoulders to say, let me be the foundation on the defensive side because you have so much to worry about on the offensive end. What'd you think of that, and what did you think of AD on the defensive side yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, Anthony is the co-leader of this team. LeBron is the leader. You know, LeBron is the guy who sets the tone with the text message like that. LeBron is a guy who has a presence about him where if he comes into the locker room pregame, I saw it several times over the course of this season, and he's treating it like there's more weight to that game. The players take their cues from LeBron's energy. But Anthony, at the same time, leads in his own way. And for him to be able to have that interplay with LeBron, get through to him without LeBron taking it as some sort of affront to his manhood or a critique of how his defense is being played. It's just trying to make it about the greater good for the team. Says so much. You know, Jimmy Butler was rolling in the first quarter, 11 points on 5-for-5 shooting. And Davis was on him for some of that first quarter as well. But from there on out, Davis committed to being the guy primarily defending Jimmy Butler. Jimmy finishes the game 3-for-12 after that first quarter, just 11 more points after 11 in the first quarter, and he goes 1-for-7 when AD is guarding him. You know, Anthony was a menace, and like he always is. He had 4 blocks, countless deflections, He is a vocal defender. He's calling out coverages. And, you know, not just that one exchange where he tells LeBron, hey, I want to guard Butler, but there's another exchange that I caught from my baseline seat, and it was about 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Anthony started the fourth quarter on the bench, so he checks in, and LeBron's standing in the backcourt while Miami's shooting free throws, or excuse me, while the Lakers are shooting free throws. I think Markieff Morris is shooting free throws. And Anthony goes right to LeBron and gets eye contact and says, let's win this thing. And, you know, LeBron admitted that, like, he was kind of squeezing it too hard. And I think that eased the tension a little bit, having Anthony just calmly, with confidence, tell him, like, yo, we got this. Let's finish this thing off.
Dave McMenamin joining us here on a Lakers Finals Reaction Wednesday. And, Dave, obviously LeBron is the leader, and AD is right there with him. How much credit does Frank Vogel get for keeping this team together, on the same page, playing as well as they do, especially when you go all the way back to the beginning of the year when he was hired? He was not the first choice. Would they be here if they had someone else sitting in that seat?
I'm not so sure, but I can certainly say that Frank Vogel has been as prepared as any coach as you could want to have, and someone who is, like, truly, and most NBA coaches are this, but he's truly a basketball freak. Like, yeah, he's away from his family, but he's with his first love down here in Orlando in basketball, and he's steeped in it. And, you know, he doesn't have to go home to a family dinner or anything like that, so he can spend more time in the film room, and he can come up with all sorts of defensive concoctions. I mean, it's not like they've been running the same stuff they ran in the regular season. He's been throwing all sorts of stuff out there to keep the opposing offensive players on their toes. And he's, you know, is able to shut down the league's leading scorer in James Harden with their defense. He's able to shut down the bubble MVP in Dame Lillard. They were able to stop an historic Denver team, the first team ever to come back from 2-3-1 deficits in a NBA playoff scenario. And now they got, you know, Jimmy Butler and Miami with, you know, someone else on that other sideline in Eric Spoelstra, who's a wonderful tactician, and he's going to throw all sorts of stuff at you. You got to stay in step and being able to, you know, anticipate the next move that comes so you don't get burned. And so a ton of credit should go to Frank Vogel, and not just Frank Vogel, but his entire staff. I mean, all these guys have made the commitment to be down here for 3.5 months away from real life, away from their family. And so Mike Penberthy and Jason Kidd and, you know, Lionel Hollins from afar and Phil Handy and all the rest of the support staff, all of them have made this thing work.
Dave McMenamin on with Travis and Sliwa here on 710 ESPN. Dave, final one for you. It's been an interesting journey, I think, for KCP in a Los Angeles Lakers jersey from when he signed back in 2017, 2018, I think was making close to $18 million, then $12 million last season. And then here, it just, when I say up and down for Laker fans, there's times where you're like, wow, KCP's playing great. Other times where I think there's been some frustration with KCP. How big was that? I mean, just that moment yesterday, I think it's going to be one of those moments that Laker fans will never forget, those five clutch points at the end.
Yeah, I mean, some of the guys I pick up ball with back in L.A., and if they're listening, they know who they are. they love to needle KCP and rip on him. And I constantly remind them, like, you know, he's a starter making less than what the average starter of the NBA makes. So he's a bargain in some sense that you could hold his previous contracts against him. So that's not what he's making now. And he always plays his role. He sprints the floor in the transition game, which allows LeBron to get the space necessary to be as effective as he possibly can be when he has numbers. He isn't hesitant to shoot an open shot when it falls in his hands. He's a willing defender who will sacrifice his body to accept to try to take a charge or not give up and die on a screen. And, you know, he's a guy, because of that, you know, work ethic and approach to the game, is respected by the guys in the locker room. So I don't know what more you want from a guy. I think it's just the spotlight of being in Los Angeles, that he has been, you know, kind of the whipping boy at times for the Laker fan base. But, I mean, he was huge. And I was just talking to Richard Jefferson, who's down here covering this thing for us at ESPN, and you know, Richard Jefferson was one of those kind of role players on the 2016 Cavs championship run where, you know, Kevin Love gets a concussion. He steps in as the starter at the four and scores 10 points in a finals game. And, you know, it's that little edge around the margins that you need to win a championship and to beat another really, really worthy team in the finals. And that's the type of night you got from KCP, not just 15 points, not just that 5-point spurt, but 5 assists too. I mean, he was taking the ball, putting it on the floor, driving baseline, and then spraying it back out to shooters on the wing and at the foul line extended, and, you know, played his role to a T.
Dave McMenamin is covering the NBA Finals for ESPN. Dave, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thanks,
Thank you, Dave.
All right. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. All right, Alan, the Lakers series is over. You can put it in the bag. I'm here to tell you that. Plus, I'm going to tell
you,
the Dodgers series is over as well. That's coming up next on a Lakers Finals Reaction Wednesday on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Anthony Marshawn Davis Jr., but you could call him AD. Ooh! Last night he put on a defensive clinic. I'm talking about that was a masterpiece. He was on Jimmy Butler heels like a pair of socks. And here it is. You have your 6'11 power forward guarding the Miami Heat's best player who just came off a historical night, one of the best final performances in NBA history, and he locked him up. Yes, I know Jimmy got off to a high start going 5-for-5 for them field, 4-for-4 on AD, but AD planted his feet into the ground and he posted up like a stop sign because he kept getting stop after stop after stop, anchoring the defense, switching out on pick and rolls. He did it all defensively. And Greeny, listen, to all those who out there wanted to see what a defensive player looked like, Anthony Davis showed us that last night because he was stuck on Jimmy Butler like fat cells are stuck on me.
That is Kendrick Perkins on Get Up This Morning, or should I say Kendrick Ladale Perkins. If he's putting other people's government names out there, I'm going to put his. So just kidding, Perk. I don't want to make him mad. He scares me a little bit. He's a pretty tough guy. Look, Anthony Davis was great, but he was more great in the fourth quarter. I would like to see great Anthony Davis from the jump on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Let's not make game 5 like game 4. If it means a win, great. The Miami Heat are short-staffed. We saw Adebayo last night, and he was okay, but he wasn't himself. You could tell that. No Dragic. And they kept that thing close until the last 90 seconds of the game or so. Let's have this be where Anthony Davis goes out. He's got 25 points at the half. LeBron's smiling and laughing, and everybody's having a good time. Let's put this thing away early so the party can get going.
So I gave some praise to Anthony Davis game 4, and I talked about what he did defensively, 4 block shots for the Lakers. But here's the reality, Trev. That's what he's expected to do.
Yeah.
I mean, the storyline shouldn't be about Anthony Davis. He had a great game. The storyline typically, when greats don't perform, that's the storyline.
Yeah.
LeBron James does it every night. I mean, LeBron is a walking triple-double. He gets on the floor yesterday, 28 and whatever he ended up with. But just keeping that in mind, what you don't want to have conversations about with Anthony Davis was like game 3. Where were you, AD? In the first half, AD, we're not feeling
and
you.
And how many times have we said that this year? I mean, not this year, this postseason. How many times have we said, yeah, AD was okay, but 3?
Mm-hmm.
3? I mean, that's in a playoff series where it looks like we're going to play 20 games, right? 5 per round. 3 out of 20 is a ratio that is a little too frequent. That's happening a little more often because
for that caliber
for that
of a
caliber
player.
We're not talking about Alex Caruso. We're not talking about KCP or Danny Green or one of these guys. We're talking about a guy that if you're listing the best players in the league, you're not getting onto the second hand.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it right, you're not getting past probably 3 or 4. 3 out of 20 is something that makes you go, okay. I mean, you LeBron is what, 3 out of 100? I mean, there's a huge difference there.
This is what you can't have happen in Game 5, because you were talking about how you want them both to come out and kind of dominate in the first half. What you can't have happen in Game 5 is you're down 5 or 7 by the time the first quarter ends.
Mm-hmm.
And now Miami's got a little bit of confidence that, okay, mm-hmm. guys, hey, you know what? We've done this before. We're hanging around. I think, Trav, if the Lakers by halftime, if they're up 7 to 10 points, something like that, now they're starting to taste it. Now you got the Lakers players, guys like Rondo, haven't won an NBA championship since 2008. Mm-hmm. Dwight Howard never won an NBA championship, made it to the finals in 2009. Then you have guys like Anthony Davis, LeBron tasting that much closer to his fourth. Get Game 5 to be one of those games that by the time you go into the locker room, fellas, all we need is 24 minutes of good basketball, and here we are with that opportunity to win.
Look, I don't want to sell a great competitor like Jimmy Butler, a really, really good coach, maybe a great coach in Eric Spoelstra, and all the guys on that side short. I really don't, because I have a great deal of respect for them. Their confidence has to be at an all-time low right now. And here's
why. That was demoralizing yesterday.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Going into Game 3 after losing the first two, you can trick yourself into saying, guys, we're still in this. If we win tonight, we're still in this. All we need is to play our guts out. And if we win, we are right back in the series. It's easy to go out there and believe that.
Sure.
Going into last night's game, you're telling yourself, hey, we beat them last time. We did play that game that was nearly flawless.
We're tying up this series tonight.
We did get
right.
a performance from Jimmy Butler. We can slow down Anthony Davis. LeBron James is a human being. We've got... Ah, damn. 3-1, you're not tricking yourself that you're going to beat these guys 3 times in a row. You're not tricking yourself that something crazy could happen in these 3 games. The only thing that you're hoping is that 2020 strikes, right? That just something completely unprecedented and unexpected happens, because you cannot trick your basketball mind. Jimmy Butler, as competitive as he is, Eric Spoelstra, as competitive as he is, knows that this thing is over. Go back to when LeBron was down 3-1, right, to the Warriors.
A few
years ago.
Yep.
LeBron James say, I'm the best damn player on this court. I know mm-hmm. Steph's the MVP. I know Klay's going to the Hall of Fame. I know Draymond's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm the best player.
By far, the best player.
I can beat these guys mm-hmm. by myself. Watch this. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler doesn't believe that. None of the guys on that team. It's not the same thing. It's over.
And I'll play to this point. Man, your confidence is at another level right now. I like it. But I'll play to this point. The way I'll look at it for Game 5, the only way Miami wins Game 5 is if the Lakers lose, okay? And it's not to take anything away from Miami, but if the Lakers play their style of basketball, you got all that talent, the role players are contributing, the bench players are doing what they have to do, LeBron and Anthony Davis are playing the games that they typically play. I'm not even saying they got to be great. They just mm-hmm. have to play the way they have to play. The only way Miami Heat extends this series is if the Lakers, I don't want to say choose to extend the series, but they don't do the things that they've done all season to grab Game 5. So it's up to the Lakers, not the Miami Heat.
LeBron, Alan.
Yeah.
LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron will prevent that from happening. He's the answer to all of your basketball questions. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's why the Dodgers series is over. Because the Padres
used
9 pitchers last night. Padres had a chance to win that game last night.
Yeah.
What was it? The second inning.
Second inning, bases loaded,
one out, and Walker Buehler cannot find the plate. He's walked the bases loaded. He's the Dodger ace, and you have him on the ropes. He's asking for you to knock him out of the game. One hit there, probably 2 runs come in. Who knows? You get an extra base hit, maybe all 3 comes in, and now all of a sudden you've got it.
A little pressure. Now the Dodgers bit. A little tighter, right?
Strikes out Profar and strikes out Grisham.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The game was over, right?
I agree with you.
I know the Padres ultimately went ahead, 1-0 after that, but the game was over. You only get mm-hmm. one shot against a pitcher like mm-hmm. that. You only get one, and if you miss it, you're not going to get another one. How many times have you heard, whether it's Smoltz or whoever is calling these games, you better get this guy early or you're not going to get him at all. Mm-hmm. You see a Verlander go deep into the game. You saw Steven Strasburg last year against the Dodgers. Once you get a couple on them early in that Game 5, and that was it. And it wasn't enough, because we saw what happened at the end of that game. The Padres do not have the pitching to match up with the Dodgers to beat them 3 of the next 4 games. These short series are brutal, man.
How perfect is this setup for Kershaw tonight? To be up 1-0, to kind of take that pressure off. How perfect do you think it's set up for him tonight?
You couldn't ask for anything better. Mm-hmm. You couldn't, because here's what else is going to happen. The Dodgers are going to score a bunch of runs tonight. Dodgers only got 4 hits last night. Their offense is crazy. Their run differential, I'm going off of memory here, I want to say it's 168. They scored 168 more runs than they gave up.
Jesus.
The next closest team, the second best run differential in baseball, were the Padres, and they were like at something like 85. So the difference between the 1 and 2,
double,
and they only got 4 hits last night, mm-hmm. which means a bunch of hits are coming. And they're probably coming tonight. Kershaw has been great. Kershaw is much better in this situation than the other ones that we've seen him in. I bet you he is just near flawless.
Well,
tonight.
Travis, you say they only had 4 hits, but they always had runners on base. 10 walks, like you mentioned. Sometimes a walk is more devastating to the opposing team than an actual hit is. And Dodgers certainly found a way to make that happen yesterday.
All right, so who is the Finals MVP? Alan's going to tell us next on a Lakers Finals Reaction Wednesday on 710 ESPN. Don't forget to download the DraftKings app and use the code Greeny to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Sliwa, did you know that is Eddie Van Halen on Michael Jackson's record?
No, I did not know that.
There you go. Yep. Not just a member of
Van Halen. John was saying that on Beat It or something like that. Obviously, this is Beat It, but I think he mentioned that yesterday. I did not know that.
Yep.
Wow. Legends.
R.I.P. Eddie Van Halen. All right. So here's an interesting question. I kind of ripped this off and used it with McMenamin a second ago. I'm going to go back to our Dr. Pepper Twitter feed right here, and this is from Sanford. Do you think the Lakers would be in the same situation today, being one game from Ring 17, if Monty Williams was hired instead of Frank Vogel? Now, let's just take Monty Williams out of it. Let's take anybody, because Frank Vogel was not the guy that was reported to be the first choice. He was not the guy that everybody, when he was hired, was like, oh, great, Frank Vogel.
There was Ty Lue's name. Yep.
There was Monty Williams. Mm-hmm. There was a bunch of other guys' names that were thrown out there, and Frank Vogel ultimately gets the job. Are the Lakers here with a different coach? And who knows, right?
Yeah, Chad, I don't have the answer to that, but what I will say is I don't want to say against all odds, but just think about the circumstance that head coach Frank Vogel was put in coming into the season. And these coaches want to be in this circumstance. You know, I had a chance a couple weeks ago to have a conversation with him about you were in the Eastern Conference Finals before. You had a chance to get to the NBA Finals. What did you learn from 7 years ago to where you are today? And what he said was that back then, he thought, yes, we got a chance to beat the LeBron James and the Miami Heat, but the reality was he didn't have LeBron James. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the best player in the world. So it's more realistic right now. Every coach wants to be in that position. He delivered, and that's all that matters.
That's it.
To this point, he's delivered. I don't know if Monty Williams could have done it. Maybe he could have. Maybe Ty Lue would have been a perfect fit. I have no idea. But whether he was the first option or the third option, you only had one scenario where you were not technically on the hot seat or people were going to start questioning your resume, what you've done in the past, was only if you won an NBA championship. He's a win away from doing that, and that's pretty damn impressive.
You can only get it wrong. If you win it, it's because you had LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. And if you lose it, it's because you did a bad job. You can only get it wrong. And he didn't get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to cash this thing in. He's going to get it. Think about Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers did something that was virtually impossible to do. He made the Clippers a real NBA organization. Mm-hmm. He took them from a joke with a despicable owner, navigated that entire debacle, and put them in a position where they won a lot more games than they lost. They became an attractive free agency destination with Kawhi Leonard. They get Paul George to come over, one of the best players in the league, and they lose in the second round and they fire him. Mm-hmm. This is what one of those jobs entails. You either win the whole damn thing or you blew it. There is no, you know what, only one team wins it every year. You know what, those other guys over there are pretty damn good too. Nobody wants to hear that. Did you win the championship? No. Okay, next.
How many coaching jobs are available right now? Mike D'Antoni got blown out of Houston. Mm-hmm.
Brent Brown got fired in Philly. But
Nate McMillan, Indiana Pacers. I only say that because I think there's 5-6 jobs available.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few of those jobs where the expectation is if you do not win it this year, you probably do not have that job. Or in Doc Rivers' case, it was, okay, you better at least get to the Western Conference Finals, mm-hmm. which he never did with the Clippers back in the Chris Paul days, Blake Griffin. So I say that because I want to throw a compliment. It's not easy to do, and coach has helped be a part of something that certainly takes a lot of different pieces.
Absolutely. Let's try another phone call here. Frank in San Pedro. Frank, you are on a Lakers reaction Wednesday.
What's going on, Frank?
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing this morning?
Great.
It's a beautiful morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What do you got?
Like the words of Jimmy Butler, I know LeBron and Anthony Davis did not want to say this yesterday because they did not want back karma, but they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They are definitely in trouble, boys. But like I said, the job is not done. We need to go into this game taking it very seriously.
Sure.
We take it very lightly. I guarantee you we are going to have an issue. These guys were not letting up. But our boys stuck through it. They did their job. But what do you fellas think about getting another scorer on the team for next year?
Frank, well, I appreciate you calling in. First of all, I like how he says take Friday seriously. I don't know what you're doing on Friday, Travis.
Throwing a party because the Lakers are going to win.
I'm getting up early. I'm going to eat some oatmeal. I'm going to shave. I'm going to take a shot. I'm
going
to wear a suit into work.
I mean,
I'm all
you're
business.
Going all in. All right.
Probably not wearing a suit. But I'm all business on Friday, just looking at it from the perspective of finish this thing off. But, you know, for next season, let me just say this. And I know once this thing gets wrapped up, it's going to be probably a quick shift to talking about next season because
that won't happen until at least Sunday. I mean, I think everybody will really enjoy this until
you think it's going to wait
Sunday
that long.
Around, I'd say about 1:30.
I might be on Saturday. Yeah. Don't take it past you that we don't go past Saturday. But the one thing I will say as we do look towards next season, Lakers got options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the actual contracts that are on this team, they got options. And if they win an NBA championship, Travis, what happens every single year in sports?
I'm writing it down on my sheet right here. The guys are going to want to come here.
Veterans that will play for the minimum to chase a ring, and what a destination this Lakers team would be.
You don't want to play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis? Think about what comes along with this. Yeah, look. KCP takes a little heat, and he has a bad night shooting the ball. Kyle Kuzma's taken maybe a lot of heat. And by the way, he's going to get his ring when they do it, so your petition can get lost. But
I don't know why that one really bothered me.
Of course it would. There is no scenario where you ultimately end up getting the blame. If the Lakers had this thing go wrong, LeBron James would have gotten 75% of the blame.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis would have gotten 10% of the blame, and Frank Vogel probably gets another 15%.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it would break down.
Maybe a little percentage for Green.
But it would be one of those, this is why LeBron is this. Anthony Davis, there's a reason he was never out of the second round. Frank Vogel showed this. And, oh, by the way, Danny Green sucks too. It would be one of those throw-ins at the end. You're never going to be the one that gets blamed. Why wouldn't you want to come? You're going to win. You're going to live in Los Angeles. You're going to wear a Laker uniform. You're going to, you know, the money presumably at the end of your career, if you're a veteran player, you've already banked a lot of money. You're looking to go and win at this point. It's a perfect scenario.
I could add one more thing to that you didn't mention that does make this Lakers team, I think, significantly different than the Clippers. They had good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
You had players on this team that enjoyed playing together. I've heard it from a couple different, you know, reporters that have good relationship with LeBron James. His relationship with his teammates are better now than they were in the past. The way he kind of controls things and I guess you could say builds relationships with the players rather than maybe that was a different story 10 years ago. A vet can come in here, not only have a chance to win a championship, not only live in LA, but be on a team where everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction.
Look, LeBron doesn't have Kyrie Irving on his team anymore. You know what I mean? That LeBron's one of those guys. It's not exactly like Shaq because Shaq's far more goofy.
Teammates, I felt liked Shaq.
They loved Shaq, mm-hmm. but Shaq was incredibly generous. But Shaq was just a jovial, larger-than-life personality.
Still is, right?
LeBron's personality isn't like Shaq's, but they're both guys that really want to take on the responsibility of being the team leader.
Sure.
They really want to be the guy that is the reason that people came in.
Magic.
Magic's a great example. Mm-hmm. Kobe's whole deal was, if you come over here, you better bring it or I'm going to gut you.
And that's a different expectation. But that's what you loved about Kobe.
Right.
Like, Kobe did it his own way.
Totally different. Magic, LeBron, Shaq, they want to be great teammates. And what doesn't work is when guys buck, like a guy like Kyrie Irving, who doesn't want to get sunned, who doesn't want to be the guy, you know, I finally have a, no, dude, you're not as good as him. You need to understand your role on this team. You need to understand what you are about in relation to that guy. And LeBron doesn't have to deal with that. AD understands that perfectly. And that balance, that transition, if and when it does take place, it's going to be very, very smooth because both of those guys get it.
All right, quick shout out to the Wallace Firm, personal injury law firm, all season long on 710 ESPN. They are serious trial lawyers who get serious results. Let them help you get the W. No win, no fee. Call them today, 844-844-WINS, or visit wallacewins.com.
So, you're going to be doing the pregame show on Friday night. You're going to be doing the postgame show on Friday night. Take all of your superstitions, set it aside. You're throwing a party at the end of the night, aren't you?
We'll be good to go on Friday night. I'll be ready to go. I'm just going to go from Friday night all the way into Saturday. Just keep going.
You're on the air the whole time?
Yeah, just keep going.
I'll be in here early on Sunday morning for the Rams pregame show, so maybe I'll just, you can hand it right off to me, and we'll keep it going from there. One more to go. One more to go. Throw a party for Allen on Friday night.